Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Hello, and welcome to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser, and we're happy to be with you today with spring coming around the corner and beautiful things happening in our community. And one of those beautiful things is an organization called A Safe Place. That's been around for almost probably more than 25 years. We have the executive director with us today, Brenda Smelter. Are you there with us today?
I am. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brenda. Well, it's always nice having another Brenda with us, and hopefully we won't confuse our listeners. But well, we met recently, and thanks to wonderful networking and people in the community like Tom Hannigan of Streetscape Magazine, who is personally very committed to helping end violence against women and calling attention and creating awareness around the issue. So he put us together, and I know you have an event coming up in April that we'll talk about in a little bit. But first, let's get started with how you first got involved in this work and how you got involved with The Safe Place.
Okay. I've actually worked at A Safe Place for 20 years now. We celebrated our 25th anniversary last year. And actually, I had been working with Comtree previous to that as a self-esteem instructor. And I was also teaching in school, and I wanted something a little bit more. And Tracy Wicking, our CEO, our assistant CEO, said, "Brenda, I got a spot for you." Actually, at that time, I wasn't even aware that we had a domestic violence shelter, I'm sorry to say. But since that time, I have been thoroughly educated on everything that we do and domestic violence. So I started out there part-time, and then went full-time, and then became the manager 10 years ago, and haven't looked back. Yes.
Well, that's a big deal. Now, how did Safe Place get started? 25 years ago, there weren't many shelters for women, and there's still a very few resources and very few beds, and I understand your shelter has 20 beds. For the county, yes. And I know St. Charles County has 10 beds, and this is typical throughout the country. There aren't many places for women to go. There wasn't a place in 1967, 68 when my mom left my dad. So tell us, how did Safe Place first start?
Actually, our CEO, Dr. Stephen Huss, back long ago, met a young lady in the lobby of Country, which is Jefferson County's Community Mental Health Treatment Center. And she was there as a victim of domestic violence, had nowhere to go and nowhere to turn. And with his wisdom and insight, thought, we need something. So began talking and working with other people in the Mental Health Society and with different communities, and started a pledge to procure some meal tax money from Jefferson County to start a program. It started out with just safe homes, and then in 1987, we realized our dream and began the first domestic violence shelter in Jefferson County.
Wow. So you were a teacher, and you were teaching self-esteem classes also. That in and of itself is very interesting. So, you know, women that have gone through domestic violence situations that are physically, mentally, or emotionally abused often do have self-esteem issues because the abuser wears down their esteem over time, and you know, it's a mental control thing before it maybe even gets physical. What have you noticed, and what, from your background with teaching self-esteem, how has that skill come in handy with your work at Safe Place?
Well, first of all, you know, a victim, she is a victim of a crime, and she does not see it. You know, she takes a lot of the blame on herself, things that she has absolutely no control over. Her abuser chooses to do what he does. Once we work with the ladies, the children, and let them see that this is a crime, that nothing they could have done to prevent it, we start working on ways of, you know, being more self-assured, knowing that their voice is heard, that they do matter, they are important, and there is somebody out there that believes their story. And we offer our hand. All we say is, what can we do for you?
And so it starts with sharing a story. So it starts with the person, and we're going to use the term woman because most often it does affect women more than men, but it does affect men as well. But let's in this case, so initially a woman may call a hotline, correct? And you have a hotline as
yes,
well,
we do.
Correct?
Yes. What
is that hotline phone number?
877. See, you caught me off guard there. Hold on just one second.
Oh, well, we can.
I have it. It's 877-266-8732. And
I want to repeat that, 877-266-8732. And I know there's also a national domestic violence hotline at 1-800-799-7233. So we want to make sure people have that national hotline. And the national hotline, I would assume, it connects callers with a local program in their community. But since people are listening from all over the country, we want to make sure they do have that national hotline number. And there's a national sexual assault hotline, and that's 1-800-656-4673. Okay, so it starts with a woman may get that hotline number from her hairdresser or a medical professional or friend. And so it's important that all of us who may witness or observe or know that if someone's in this kind of situation, to give them the phone number. First step, give them a phone number, and then the woman may start calling to share her story. And then take us through the process, Brenda. What happens after that?
Absolutely. Once the woman calls the hotline, our hotline is always answered by a staff person, no recordings. We're there 24/7. And we just kind of gently guide her about what is she seeking, what is she looking for, you know, how can we help her. We don't question her. She doesn't have to prove to us that she's a victim of domestic violence. Once she calls our hotline, that's all we need. We listen to her story. Not all victims need shelter. Not all victims need even, you know, sometimes they just need somebody to talk to you. But basically,
right,
we listen to her, we hear her story, and then we start asking her some questions. Okay, are you safe? That's the first thing we're going to ask her. Are you safe where you're at right now? If you're not safe, hang up the phone, call us from a different place, because there's so many tracking systems and devices now that abusers can use. You know, one of the most difficult things for a woman to have to deal with is knowing that her every movement is being tracked, is being questioned. So we want to make sure that she's talking to us in a safe place, that something she says to us is not going to get back to him and be used against her. So once we establish...
And often once there is an indication that she may be leaving, or if he has any hint that she may be leaving, doesn't the abuse sometimes increase at that point?
Yes, it does. So one of the things that you have to remember when you're working with a victim of domestic violence is the most dangerous time for her and her children is when she's actually leaving. It's not while she's there in the home, because she knows how to protect herself in whatever shape that might be in her circumstances. But when she's actually leaving, he's losing control, he's losing power, that's when it's going to turn violent. That's when you see on the news and hear on the radios about a woman and her husband being killed. It's not like she's still in the
house. And often, I know I've seen stories and documentaries about, you know, sometimes the woman will go home during the day, get her stuff, thinking that the guy might be at work, when in fact he may come home and catch her, you know, packing or trying to flee. And so it's really important to use the resources like law enforcement. A lot of people don't know that local law enforcement will do a standby. You can call them and they'll just park the car and they'll wait there while you go in and get your stuff. So, you know, often, you know, women aren't really thinking rationally at that point. They're in crisis. They're completely frantic. They're fleeing for their life, often maybe just leaving with their clothing or just a few belongings. I talked to one woman who got out with just throwing some things in a blanket, and you know, that was all she could take, was what she could carry. And so it's important to have a plan. And so often if someone's in an abusive situation, calling the hotline sometimes multiple times and getting a plan, or meeting with a counselor in advance and having a plan of action to, you know, if that person is going to go to a shelter or go to a private home or go out of state or wherever they need to go. But so you connect them if they do need to go out of state with other shelter providers in other cities or other states, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, we do. We've sent people as far away as San Francisco, and we're right here in Jefferson County, state of Missouri, and we've taken people from as far away as, Vietnam, and even Russia. So we know how it is for all of us shelters, to be connected, working together. Because sometimes it's a series of going from one shelter to the next, getting as close as you can to your final destination.
And have you found, you mentioned Russia and Vietnam, have you found different challenges for women from other countries who are here, where perhaps they don't have the family support, or they don't, and they have the language barrier and they have a cultural barrier in terms of reaching out and getting help?
Yes, yes. You know, there's a whole different realm of things. We might be dealing with immigration. We might be dealing with her child being someplace else than where she is, and we need to help to get her back. But luckily, and the wonderful thing for all of us is that we do work together. You know, this is a huge, huge undertaking when you go to work with victims, but there's so many needs that have to be met. So working together as a community, even across the state, is one of the wonderful things. Especially, you know, we are an active member of the Missouri Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence. So they have helped us a lot with their resources and referrals that they have as well.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned them, and we do want to give out their website. It's MOCAD MSV.org. And so that stands for the Missouri Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence. And they've been around since 1980. Probably most states have these types of statewide coalitions. So if you're listening from another state, just go online and Google them. And, of course, we often tell people to go to a library to do your research or your you know, seeking help. Because if you're using your computer at home and you're living with an abusive person, they can see and track your search history. And these are things sometimes we don't think about, but to always, you know, the victim that's living in this situation has to always be covering her tracks, and because they are often watched under a microscope. So the Missouri Coalition Against Domestic Violence, and they've been organized since domestic violence didn't even have a name, let alone any legal identity in terms of resources through legal methods and such. So when a woman comes into shelter, what are some of the services, for example, Safe Place provides to her besides, in addition to counseling? What are some other services you can help her with?
Absolutely. And one of the things, too, that I'd like to point out is that every service that a woman receives from a domestic violence shelter, and I'll speak for ours, is at no cost to her. We have funding streams to take care of that. So once she arrives, I mean, once you have safety planned with her and you've got her and her kids safely there in school at the shelter, then you have to start the whole process of starting over again. So she's going to get individual and group counseling. Her and her child both will. We offer parenting classes, self-esteem classes, nutritious classes. We have a full-time child advocate who works with our kids, works making sure that they're enrolled in school, that the school knows what's going on. If she needs court advocacy, we have a full-time court advocate. If she's involved with law enforcement, we have a full-time DIVERT advocate, and that's Domestic Violence Enhanced Response Team, and two full-time DIVERT detectives that will be working those cases and getting out there and getting done what she needs. Also, we have the prosecuting attorney's office with their victim service advocates that will completely take her through that whole prosecution system. So she's not floundering and going, I got to call this person, I got to call that person. It's more of a one-stop shop. We're right there.
One-stop shop. And mm-hmm. So how long does typically, what's the average length of stay that someone stays at your program, at your shelter?
We have found in recent years, due to economy, that pretty much the minimum stay is, it could be anywhere from 3 to 6 months. We do not have a set time limit at the shelter, at a Safe Place, because there is so many other contributing factors. So we are able to work an individual program that suits the individual needs. Some women just need us overnight.
I think sometimes people who haven't seen a shelter space may think, you know, worst case scenario of a cot in a room. And the shelters I've seen, both within Missouri and in Colorado and in Washington, D.C., all the women's shelters I've seen are really homey and loving and have homemade quilts. And, you know, they're just spaces that are beautiful. And I think there's a big stereotype that we have to break that going to a shelter is somehow, you know, a scary place, when in fact it's just the opposite. It's like a bed and breakfast. It's beautiful and it's loving, and all the staff are loving, and there's toys and stuffed animals for the children, and beautiful home cooked meals that volunteers come in and provide. So I want to make sure you know people do know that, and I'm sure you accept all kinds of in kind donations, like office supplies and supplies for the kids and food donations. But probably your biggest need is for cash support to pay for all kinds of things that are not supply related and different and things you need. So talk about that. How difficult has it been to raise funds, and what are the funds you're looking to raise this year?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that because, you know, we can always meet the basic needs of food, water, diapers, but there's also the need of she comes to us and her license are expired, or she needs to pay her insurance on her car because if she doesn't have a car, she can't get a job, no job, no money, no way that she could get out and get her own home, or to even rent an apartment. So we can get it out there and generate the funds to pay for staffing needs, to pay for our electric bills, stuff like that. But you have to raise the extra money to provide, you know, just the basics that a woman needs. You know, a woman that's on food stamps, okay, I think there's just such a big misconception about that. You know, you can only buy food with food stamps. So if you're not working, you know, you have no means to get out. How are you going to buy diapers? How are you going to buy toilet paper? How are you going to buy light bulbs? You know, it's things like that that we need to help our women with. You know, we can cover their basic needs, but it takes a whole lot more than that once she goes out on her own. She still has to be self-sufficient. So,
and so I know, having worked for various battered women's shelters myself, I know that a lot of groups with good meaning intentions, the Knights of Columbus or the Kiwanis or the Optimists or, you know, all these groups or sometimes corporate employee groups with good intentions will often do a diaper drive or a baby shower or some kind of drive to get stuff. And often I have seen in my own personal experience that the shelter sometimes doesn't have the storage space for all the stuff that is given, but often they need the cash support as opposed to the stuff. And they seem to have no shortage of getting the things that are needed for the women and children, but they really need programmatic funding. So you have an event coming up next month in April. Talk to us about this event. It's kind of an interesting new concept in an event. Instead of a sit-down lunch or dinner, it's a fashion show. So tell us a little bit about the event coming up.
Oh, I would love to. Yes, this is our 8th annual fashion show, and this year it will be held at the Viking Center at the Holiday Inn Route 66 Viking Center Conference on Watson Road. And it will be a sit-down lunch fashion show. We'll have vendors. We will have Safe Place displays. We'll be having a huge raffle items going on. We have some other little treats that you have to be there to participate in, but we're also going to open up something to the general public that maybe a fashion show is not their forte, but they still want to help. One of the wonderful things about us is our fashion show is that we have so many survivors of a safe place and domestic violence that is actually our models, and they're there.
I love that.
Yes.
Oh,
isn't
my
that
goodness.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes, and we don't have professional models. And so half of our models are survivors and their children. And the other half of our models are women that are directly related to working with a safe place. We have the wonderful Ms. Betty Hogg, who is the director for the juvenile office in Jefferson County. We have our divert detectives that's going to be escorts. We work with Jefferson College. We have, it's just, this year we've got representation from the prosecuting attorney's office, the court system. So it's actually a wonderful, fun time and event. It's just happy and carefree. We're all you know, even though it's such a serious, you know, issue, there's times when you have to step back and celebrate the survivors and the thrivers of domestic violence and what they've done.
Well, I love that you said the thrivers, since this show is called Alive to Thrive, and there was a quote I came across, a Helen Keller quote that says, "A happy life consists not in the absence, but in the mastery of hardships." And it goes on to, give a little spiritual practice about remaining positive and finding resilience, which is something that your program, I think, teaches. It's not just survival skills about, you know, initially it's addressing a woman's immediate safety concerns, her basic needs, the food, clothing, and shelter for herself and her children. But beyond that, it's getting them and helping these women become ready for job interviews. It's helping them, you know, get a life plan, learning things as simple as balancing a checkbook, because often they haven't had any financial power in their relationship. It's learning some basic skills, and sometimes, and I do want to dispel the myth that there's sometimes a stereotype or a stigma about women that are in these situations are from a certain economic background, and that is so not true. I mean, I have personally known women business owners, women lawyers, women police officers, women from all walks of life, women with PhDs that find themselves over the course of time in an abusive relationship that maybe didn't start out that way. Maybe it started out with someone handsome and charming and alluring, and it was a gradual process. And sometimes because of their religion, they may stay. That's certainly what happened in my mother's case. She was, her religion told her to marriage until death. And, you know, so often, you know, women do stay in very dangerous relationships to the point of death because they think they should, because their religion tells them so. It's how do you combat all those, messages that women have been receiving through their culture or through their religion or through society?
Well, one of the things, and I know it's going to sound simple, but one of the things when I go out and give presentations is the first thing I'll say is we have to stop the victim blaming. So one of the first things you can do in dealing and trying to help a woman that's a victim of domestic violence is stop asking that question, why did you stay? Why didn't you get out? But ask that question of, what can I do to help you? Why did he do that to you? Let's see what we can do for you. Because it's victim blaming, and a lot of times, you know, domestic violence is a crime of secrecy. You will be amazed. You probably won't, but people are amazed by how wonderful they perceive that woman's nightmare. I mean, how many times have you heard it on the TV? Oh my gosh, he was so nice. Oh my gosh, he was a pillar in his church. Kind, gentle, you know? Because that's what he chooses the public to see. But at night when he goes home, he has complete control of her. And she has no way to get out, because who's going to blame her? Who's going to believe her? Mm-hmm. You know? And that's the things that we're trying to work on. That's the kind of things that we're looking at. And even working with Children's Division, Juvenile Division, the court system is, you know, because it's all about the safety planning, but you have to ask yourself, whose safety plan is it? Is it your plan for her, or is it her plan? Because, you know, if you think about it, Brenda, no one knows their abuser better than she does.
Right. And it's helping that woman gain back some personal power, some becoming empowered by making some decisions in terms of maybe where to go. And I think often sometimes women think, well, I'll just go to my mother's house or I'll just go to a friend's house and underestimate underestimate their abuser's, you know, intensity, or, you know, that the control, the control issue that that abuser has will not stop at anything. And so, you know, for, again, for the listeners to please, you know, don't ignore a situation. If someone has visible signs of abuse, if they say they've been falling down or they're accident prone or they bumped into their door or their dog jumped up on them. I heard one woman say, oh, well, my dog just jumped up on me. And, you know, a dog jumping up on someone does not bruise someone all over their leg or their face. And but there's so many excuses that a woman will use because she is fearful of leaving and because she can't envision a life without maybe this current situation she's in. There's good times. Maybe there's some economic reasons. I think a lot of women are fearful of surviving on their own. But so many women have made the transition, have found resources at places like the Safe Place, and have been able to start over and go on to have a life of accomplishment in work and in personal relationships, and to find true love, and to find you know, that love is not control, that love is respect and lifting the other person up instead of trying to hold them back. Does your agency also work with victims of sexual violence? And
we do. Mm-hmm. We offer, of course, you know, shelter, and we have two groups. Barton Holder, who is our licensed therapist, full-time at a Safe Place, also has a women's sexual assault survivor group, and she also has a teen sexual assault survivors group that she works with as well. And then, of course, we are connected with the YWCA and all the resources, the wonderful resources in St. Louis as well. That because you know the best thing about being an advocate is if you can't help her with it, then you need to get out there and find somebody who can. So it takes a lot of organizations, a lot of people to help one victim do what she needs to do.
It takes a village. So we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and continue talking with Brenda Smeltzer of A Safe Place, a program here in Missouri that helps women and children dealing with the effects of domestic violence. Stay with us. You're listening to Alive to Thrive, and we'll be back after a station identification and a short ad. We'll be right back. Thank you.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
You're listening to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Frazier on GGM. And now, back to the show.
Hi, welcome back to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Frazier, and our guest today has been talking with me about domestic and sexual violence. We're talking with Brenda Smeltzler of A Safe Place, and we're just going to be covering now sexual violence. We've been talking a little bit about domestic violence, and let's talk about sexual violence. You know, it's such a broad area of date rape and sexual assault of all varieties. What are you seeing in terms of the women you're working with and counseling on this?
Well, actually, the counseling area is not mine, so I just manage the shelter. But as far as I'm kind of like going to step back here for a moment because basically I do deal mostly in domestic violence. So the sexual violence is it's extremely difficult for women to talk about it, and sexual violence, again, does not discriminate at all. And there are so many victims out there that really don't know where to go, who to talk to. I think the hardest thing is to, for male victims of sexual violence, and I'm talking about, you know, adult males, and then, of course, you've got children that are victims of sexual assault. So it's very difficult to really be mindful of the extra care that they need, the therapy that they need, and it's consistent. Comtry has the CAC Center, which is the Child Advocacy Center, and they do an amazing job out there. I mean, they just do a wonderful job of making sure that when that young victim tells her story or his story, that they only have to tell it once. They're in a protected environment. They're not grilled. They're not badgered. So they really help them find their voice about these atrocious things that happened to them. So we at the shelter, of course, the primary reason for coming to the shelter is domestic violence. But once they're there, once we start talking about things, once they're in their groups, they do find that they have been victims of sexual violence, you know, mm-hmm. with being forced just because it's the man's right, or even in cases of even being withheld, you know. So, but that's really that particular area there, I would have to defer to our therapist, Bart Tinholder, who is not here with me at this time. So,
right. And I know that it's been often difficult in the courts to prove that a married woman has been raped within marriage and within the context of marriage, and that has been proven a few, you know, but it's very difficult, and I'm sure in Missouri, you know, it's a matter of who the judge is and what court system you're in, et cetera. Getting back to the program that you're most involved with being the manager of the house, so let's talk about that. You have 20 beds there, and you said earlier in the program that a woman may stay for several months. And so what do you do when you probably have way more demand than you have beds and space? So do you refer women to other programs in the state or other places within your county, or how do you handle that?
I am so glad you asked that question, because you know, when a shelter is full, and she tells the woman, we don't have any bed space, that doesn't mean that the advocate's job is finished there. So the next thing we have to do is we've got to give her referrals, give her numbers to call. We even have a program at a safe place that if a woman is in immediate need, she can't come to the shelter, she's involved with the police officer, she's sitting in the police car, she can't return home, we have motel placement. We have an arrangement with our local motel that we just call the hotel, make the arrangements, and the woman and her children can go to the hotel, and we provide that. We make sure that she's got food, she's got personal care items. If she needs gas money, we're going to make sure that we get those things over there to her. Or if, let's say, again, like I was talking about before, let's say she is traveling across the United States to get to, let's say she starts out at New York and she wants to end up in Arkansas. She's not going to have the money or the transportation for that. So along the way, we can help her with those things by connecting her to another shelter, giving her another night of safety or two nights of safety till she gets where she really needs to be. So we help with that. So that's
what are your biggest funding needs? I mean, I'm sure that it's always a constant challenge, and things like the upcoming event make a huge difference in the survival of your program, and that you probably depend pretty heavily on the support coming in with an event like your fashion show in April. And I do want to make sure people know how to get tickets, because there are ways to order tickets by calling and then by also emailing someone at Comtree. And there's information on the Comtree website. It's comtrea.org, comtree.org, which is the parent organization for Safe Place Domestic Violence Shelter. So we want to make sure people know where to go to get the information on the 8th Annual Fashion Show, which is going to be Sunday, April 21st. It's 12:30 to 3, so people go to any kind of faith community in the morning. They can go to their church or synagogue, you know, wherever they want to go, and then come over to the Holiday Inn, Route 66 and Viking Conference Center on Watson Road. And that event's called Lighting Up the Runway. I love that, for a brighter future. So where else can people get tickets? Can they call for tickets?
Yes, they can. They can contact Amy Rhodes at Comtree, and her number is 636-232-2341. You can also email her directly at arhodes@comtree.org. Also, A Safe Place now has their very own website. It's newly developed, and we're still working on it, but that is asafeplacejc.org. There's information about us on there, as well as our upcoming event.
Excellent. Well, I wanted to make sure people did have that website at safeplacejc.org, and Amy Rhodes, Arhodes at Comtree.org for tickets. And the tickets are only $40. That is like the cheapest deal I've heard of for a nice event like this. Very reasonable. You could buy 4 or 5 tickets for your friends to come with you. For $200, you can get 5 tickets and bring some other friends. There'll be a lunch program. There'll be vendors, as Brenda was talking about earlier. And there'll be a fashion show. And I love the fact that the fashion show will feature domestic violence survivors and women that have gone through your program, as well as the volunteers and staff and other community allies from your county, Jefferson County, who have been involved with your program to be real life models. I love that. I think people in the audience can really identify and say, hey, that's a body shape that looks like me, instead of some model that's perhaps borderline anorexic that no one can really identify with. And then talk about some of your sponsors. You have clothing and accessories sponsored by Cato. Who is Cato? C-A-T-O.
Cato's is a wonderful boutique-type store that fits all shapes and sizes. They're wonderfully priced. Cato's is now, there is one on Richardson Road in Arnold. We have Eureka. We've got Fenton. We've got the South County area. We've got the DeSoto area. They're pretty much through the state of Missouri. Their clothes are beautiful, upscale, but so affordable. You know, from a night out, a fun, nice little evening out to, I just want to look nice when I'm working out in my yard. Cato's also, a wonderful thing for Cato's is that all year long, all their returns, all their zeroed out, whatever, their new clothes, summertime, it's time for summer season to be over, winter season comes in, we get all their brand new clothes, come straight to a safe place for the women.
Wow.
It is so
the women have beautiful new clothing to go out on job interviews, and again, that just is so uplifting to, if you look good and feel good, and you know, it's also a confidence booster. So we do want to do a shout out to Cato's, and they have a website, catofashions.com, and I know that on their website that if you like them on Facebook, you can win a $100 gift card. So that's a clever use of social online social media. So check out that sponsor. And who are some of your other sponsors?
Yes, we've had quite a few wonderful sponsors in the past. Ten Holder Properties, St. Paul GM Country. We've also had the All Britain Financial Services. And then we have our local ones, Dee's Hair and Body Studio, Davison Enterprise, Wells Fargo, Marshall Wireless. The Jefferson County Sheriff's Department is a big sponsor of ours. The Jefferson Regional Medical Center, Premier Women's Healthcare, Docs Harley Davidson right down there on Lindbergh. We have gone out of our county, like out of our comfort zone, and we found that we are welcome, that people want to help. Women and children that come to a safe place in Jefferson County don't just come from Jefferson County. They come from everywhere. And a lot of the business organizations are seeing that now. And they're extending that hand out to help, which is awesome and amazing because you never know. That victim of domestic violence could be the one sitting right next to you in the booth at Denny's or in line at Walmart. You know, so this national movement, especially with the Violence of Women's Act that has been reauthorized again, Vice President Joe Biden, all those wonderful, hardworking people at the national level working on domestic violence, it's really become more vocal and we're easier to find, help is easier to get. And I think that's one of the great.
And let's talk about that for a minute. The Violence Against Women Act, but also known as VAWA. Why would any elected official, why on earth would any elected official not want to reauthorize a program that's been so successful? What on earth do you think they were thinking? Anyone that was against that?
I really can't speak for what was in their mind. I think sometimes when you're seeing the whole big, broad picture, that maybe you're not taking time to really look at those programs that are providing your direct services. Luckily for us, especially in the state of Missouri, they saw that. Now, VAWA has passed again. It's wonderful.
How many years is it authorized for?
Oh, my goodness. I don't have the answer to that question.
Okay. Well, just to know that if you're listening, whatever state you're in, do let your state officials, elected officials from Congress and U.S. senators' offices, write them notes on as an email or make a phone call and thank them. First, find out if they voted for VAWA, V-O-W-A, or not. And then if they did, thank them, because that funding keeps places going like a Safe Place, vitally important funds for programs that are working, you know, often at confidential locations. People don't see the delivery of services in a community because these locations are safe and confidential, because, you know, abusers can't know where the person is that they are pursuing, where they are. And so I think that is an additional challenge for organizations like a Safe Place, because they're not on every corner like a Goodwill or a Y or, you know, other nonprofit agencies that are more visible in the community. So what are some other ways that people can help you? Certainly supporting by buying tickets. Do you need auction items for your fashion show, Brenda?
I believe that, well, we are so excited because now we have our own A Safe Place Advisory Board and a fashion show committee. So if you go to our website, that will put you in contact with our raffle organizer, Ms. Susie Abishan, who is just amazing. So she's in charge of that. Luckily, this year, Barb and I don't have to be in charge of everything. We've got people that have stepped up to the plate now and go, I like doing that. I'm going to do that for you. So that's one of the wonderful things. Again, you know, monetary support is always the bottom line, what shelter managers are looking for. Another way that we ask for help, too, is sometimes people may not just want to give cash, but I will say that giving cash to a domestic violence shelter, we have those wonderful shelter tax credits. And if you go on to our website, find out how that works, because that's amazing for your tax dollars and getting that back at the end of the year. And another thing that
I do want to talk about that for a minute, because those tax credits are fantastic. So if a donor makes a $5,000 gift, $2,500 of that, 50% of that is fully tax deductible off the bottom line of their taxes and their state taxes. So those credits are hard to get. I know I've worked at agencies where we've had to apply for those state tax credits. It's huge. So you get a federal tax deduction and you get a state tax deduction. Makes it very attractive for a major donor to support your work. So I do want to encourage people to look into those tax credits for if they are in Missouri or if they're out of state, to look into their, to ask those questions of the nonprofits you support. Say, do you have any special tax credit programs?
Yes, absolutely, because those are wonderful. And, you know, with shelters, if you don't use those, you do lose them. So, you know, we encourage everyone, hey, you know, apply for that tax donation because it starts at just $100. So somebody might think it's just $100, but it's great, and it goes up from
great. And so your phone number to learn more about making donations of these of this type with the tax credits or just other donations is 636-232-2301. And toll-free, their phone number is 1-877-COMTREE, which actually the numbers are 1-877-266-8732. And I see on your website that you get support from the Mary Kay Ash Charitable Foundation.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about Mary Kay's involvement with domestic violence programs across the country.
Oh. You know, not only do they have the wonderful jewelry and stuff that they sell, you know, but they also offer, like, one-time building and foundation grants for domestic violence shelters. We were able to renovate and update our bottom basement with a Mary Kay Ash Foundation grant, which we turned into our art therapy center, where Barb goes down there and she does you know, art therapy with the women and children at a safe place. And a lot of the things that they made, it's beautiful to look at, but we also have done some, you know, bracelets that we sell. The women have made some other craft items that we're going to be offering for sale at the fashion show as well. So it's those dollars that might just be one time, but it gets us what we need. It gives us a really good foundation to build our program on, and then we go from there. So it's been wonderful. Just been wonderful with that.
Well, I'm honored. We didn't talk much about it, but I'm honored that I'll be your MC that day on April 21st. And I think we're going to have a fantastic time, and I want to encourage all my friends to get tickets. I am posting on Facebook about where to call or to order tickets or contact me through my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/alive2thrive. Send me a message. We'll make sure you get tickets for the Sunday, April 21st event, which is the Lighting Up the Runway 8th Annual Fashion Show to benefit a safe place. Sunday, April 21st, spring will be here. It's a good time to see what the new fashions are for the spring and for 2013. It's only $40 to attend. So contact Amy at 636-232-2341 or visit the Safe Place new website, which is www.asafeplacejc.org, to learn more about their counseling services, their hotline. You could refer their 24-hour hotline to anyone you may know. They do have support groups. They do court advocacy. They do therapy with kids and with women, including art therapy, which is a great way to connect to feelings and to heal some of the trauma that women and children have gone through. Any closing thoughts, Brenda?
Closing thoughts. Come see us. Come to our fashion show. We're so happy and honored, Brenda, that you're going to be there. But I think it's going to give you a different look at what you think a victim is. And we're looking forward to having a good time. And thank you so much for promoting a safe place and our cause. And thank you so much for being so passionate about the cause in general, because that's what we need. We need people passionate and committed to helping these victims of this crime.
I thank you for your work and your service. 20 years is heroic to give to any one charity. And, you know, there are a lot of people in the community that do want to give back, and we want to help connect those businesses and individuals to charities like yourself that are just making such a positive difference and are quietly going about heroic efforts to save lives and to improve the quality of life for others. So thank you, Brenda, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
another, a friend, a spouse, and a lover. Treat each other well, no one is going to hell. Teach love, not hate.
It's a big round world, it's a beautiful